Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
This is week three of our fall series, More Than, and we've been looking at Romans 8. In our first week, we talked about that you're more than your mistakes. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good news, right? You're more than your mistakes. Last week, we talked about being more than your temptations. And today, I want to talk to you about the third more, and it's this. It's that you're more than your title. You're more than degrees, jobs, positions. You're more than what someone says about you, whether that be positive or negative. Combine that with you're more than your mistakes and more than temptation. This is a reminder of our identity in Christ. The big idea this morning as we walk through this is to be reminded of who you are and whose you are. Because whose you are will tell you who you are. There's a lot to that statement, and I encourage you to just chew on that, because I just want to say it to us again. Be reminded of who you are and whose you are, because whose you are will tell you who you are. The text for today, Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Look at it with me if you would. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Let's pray. Father, over these next few moments as we look at these few passages of Scripture, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be turned to you, God, that distractions would be removed, that our bodies, Lord God, would be full of vitality, our minds would be alert to what you would have to say to us and speak over us. Father God, I pray. Thank you for your word, that it's living and life-giving. In Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the first thought this morning as we dive into this, is this, in regard to you're more than your identity, is this, that you're no longer a slave. In verse 15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Now, you've probably all have heard of Houdini, right? He, the great illusionist, and he would proclaim that there was no prison cell that could hold him, that there was no handcuffs that could keep him bound. And he would take his shows from prison to prison, from jailhouse to jailhouse, and demonstrate with amazement of his skills to release. And the warden would handcuff him and put him in the cell. And in a moment, Houdini would do a quick sleight of hand and pull from underneath his belt a pick, and immediately the handcuffs would fall off. And then it wasn't much longer that he would be able to pick the jail door and walk out. People were amazed. Oh, the great Houdini. And then one day, though, he met his match. He bragged and he boasted about his accomplishments. The show began. People came from all over the place to watch. And as always, he quickly picked the handcuffs. His hands were free. But then for 2 hours, he worked on the jail cell. And it wouldn't release. And in exasperation and a little bit of anger and frustration, he called the warden over. And the warden came over, and Houdini was upset with him, accusing him of putting super glue or something in the lock that would hinder him from getting into or getting out of the jail cell. And the warden responded, Houdini, the reason you can't pick the lock is because the door was never locked. You can't pick, you can't unlock something that is already unlocked. And all of you, and all you had to do, Houdini, was just push and the door would have opened for you. We're no longer slaves to our past, to our mistakes, to our temptations, or to our titles. So what's that bring us to this morning? It brings us to a change of standing. When Paul says this, the spirit of slavery, you're no longer a slave to fleshly desires that lead you to live a life that is contradictory to what God has spoken over you. God, how many know God wants the best for you? God has the best for you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit within you, offers you something that is better than any fleshly desire that may fight against you. The Spirit within you allows you to look at trials, allows you to look at tests, allows you to look at temptations and say this: Jesus is better. Jesus is greater, and Jesus will fulfill every desire I have more than that thing or that situation will. Romans 8 verse 12 says this: therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to what your sinful nature urges you to do. How many of you have ever had a little conversation with your sinful nature? Or maybe your sinful nature tried to have a conversation with you, urging you. You have no obligation to what your sinful nature urges you to do, for if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death, or you don't cater to, or you don't entertain it, the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. James chapter 1, the brother of Jesus, writes this in verse 14: temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. You'll never win over sin, right? So what do we have to do then? You have to stop sin at the point of desire. You don't entertain it. You don't play with it, because you know if you play with it, it's going to make a fool out of you. It will put you in bondage. And one thing we have to do is simply, as man, in our day and age, we have to remember, we have to call sin what it is. Right? I mean, you're like, oh, here we go. Here's the preacher go. He's going to talk about sin today. But we have to call sin what it is. Right? It is the evil that got Adam removed from the garden. It's the evil that will try to imprison you. You call it for what it is. And you address it. You don't cater to the flesh. We can't cater to it. We can't cave into the flesh. You call it what it is. You speak for what it is. I mean, when it approaches, you say, "Man, that's evil." Case in point, if I could just tell on my, well, I better be careful how I say this, or you're like, "Oh, what'd you do?" So let me use myself for an example, all right? Several weeks ago, I was in the midst of studying and preparing, I think it was the first message for this series. And so I'm working in my office, and I have my commentaries out, and I'm looking at my computer software, Bible study program, I'm looking on that, I'm running some searches on different topics on the internet, and I search in... I think I typed a guy's name, and I just wanted to hear or read what this guy had to say on the topic that I was preaching on, and so I typed his name in, and I mean, there was like no words in my search that would take you somewhere where you thought would be inappropriate, right? And so I type it in, and this couple options pop up. All I'm looking at them, I'm kind of checking them out, making sure that there is nothing there that would be like, oh, this is a, you know. And so I'm like, okay, it looks good. And I hit a site, and all of a sudden, da boom, some stuff popped up, and I'm like, ah! You know? And it was just like, trust me, it was not a temptation at all. It was just like, oh, dear Jesus, please scan my mind clean. That is nasty. And I went home. I think at lunch, or I can't remember if Robin and I had lunch today, that day, or it was at dinner or whatever, and I was like, hey, this just happened, so I just want you to know that this, you know, was the scenario that happened. But man, I was just like, man, I'm not going to cater. I'm going to cut it off. Right? Because you know where the enemy wants to take you. He wants to take you down. He wants to take you out. Jesus was really strong in how we should deal with sin. I mean, think about it. Really strong. When I talked to Robin that day and I said, hey, and it wasn't like, I wasn't going out, that wasn't a temptation issue. It was just something, you know, a site that I hit, and I was like, oh man, she just needs to know this in case, you know, she gets on my computer and she looks at my history and she's like, what's this? And so I'm glad that we have that relationship. And so Jesus was so strong in how he told us how to deal with sin. How strong? Matthew chapter 5. What's he say? If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, gouge it out, whatever. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. The first church I was at, I was a youth pastor at, there was like 3 or 4 guys in that church that didn't have arms. And I walked in there and I'm like, I'm pretty young in my faith. I'm like, do I want to be the youth pastor at this place? Because this looks like serious. You know, they were all farming accidents, but that was kind of the joke of the church, you know. He's just like, you sin, we'll take care of it for you. How many know Jesus wasn't saying do that literally? Because at the core of who we are, sin is a heart issue. So you can remove the hand, but if you don't deal with your heart, you're still going to have the issue. And Jesus is saying you must be willing to do the hard thing. That's the point in Jesus' statement in Matthew 5. Be willing to do the hard thing. Make hard decisions. Therefore, we have to be careful, though, with what we watch and what we listen to and who we hang out with, because those things can suck you into doing the wrong thing. Jesus says, man, be willing to do the hard thing. Be aware of what Christ has delivered you from. It isn't that you're better than someone else, right? It's that you're going somewhere different. It's that, man, I am not anchored to this place. I don't want to get attached to this place. I don't want to feed the things of this world and the desires of this world, the desires of my flesh. I don't want to be a slave again. I have a new standing. So this isn't just a change of standing. It's also a change of security. Look at it in verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So, no longer swayed by your feelings, no longer swayed by those desires, not allowing your emotions to dictate your steps. How many know, you can't really don't trust your feelings. Your feelings are pretty fickle. Some of you, like this morning, like, I don't want to go to church today, I'm tired. But you're here, good job. But your feeling would have said, man, just stay in bed and go get a donut later on. Right? But you're here. Awesome. I want to share with you a little story that I think illustrates this so well. It's called Remember the Duck. Maybe you've heard it before. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with, and so he wandered out into the woods with his new toy and picked up some rocks, and he practiced in the woods, taking aim at trees and rocks and signs that were out there. But he could never hit his target. Getting discouraged, he decided to head back to Grandma and Grandpa's for dinner. And as he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. And just out of impulse, he let a rock fly from the slingshot, and he hit the duck square in its head, and he killed Grandma's duck. He was shocked, grieved, in fear, and in panic. He grabbed the duck by its neck and hid it in the woodpile. Only as he looked up from burying the duck, looked up and he saw his sister, Sally, watching. Sally had seen everything that just took place. After lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me that he wanted to help in the kitchen today. Didn't you, Johnny?" And she leaned towards Johnny and whispered, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. Later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I really need Sally to stay and help me cook supper. I have a big meal planned, and I just need the extra hand. That would be great if she would stay." But and Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me earlier today that he would really like to stay and help in the kitchen tonight." And she whispered to little Johnny, "Remember the duck." So Johnny stayed. And after several days of doing both his chores and Sally's, finally he couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. She knelt down and gave him a hug and said, "Oh, sweetie, I know. You see, I was standing in the window, and I saw the whole thing transpire. But because I love you, I forgave you. But I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make you a slave." See, I don't know what your past is. I don't know what sin the one enemy keeps throwing in your face or trying to label you with. But whatever it is, I want you to know something. Jesus Christ was standing in the window of heaven, and he saw the whole thing. But because he loves you, he's already forgiven you. Or is willing to forgive you if you've never confessed him to be your Lord and Savior. Perhaps he's just wondering how long you'll let the enemy make you a slave. How many know the enemy wants to whisper in your ear all the time, "Remember the duck"? You find yourself enslaved by those words. Remember your failures, your marriage that failed, your attempts to parent kids and they rebelled. Remember, you can't hold a job. Remember your battle with the substance and you failed. Remember, you always find yourself clicking on that site. Remember, 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 remember. It's a familiar voice for some of us, isn't it? Remember, you're alone. Remember your position. You have to protect your name. You have to protect your title. And Jesus says over you, "You are no longer a slave." Don't let Satan keep you a slave. Don't shrink back in fear. All you have to do is push the door open, because it's already unlocked because of what Christ did by defeating death, hell, and the grave. Remember the cross. Remember the empty tomb. Remember the place that he's prepared for you. Remember that he's poured out his Spirit upon the church to empower them to be his witness, to live the life that he's called us to live. Remember what Christ has done. The next thought for today is this, that you're no longer an orphan. Verse 15, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And this is so rich. Tuesday afternoon, I was just studying in my office, just reading over this passage of Scripture, reading books, reading commentaries, just trying to reflect. And lo, I've preached this before, and lo, I've talked about it before. I was just, man, I just want to camp out, Jesus. I just want to camp out in this statement. I want to just marinate in it because it's so good to just think about. You've received the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. It's just not something that you say about yourself. Well, I'm a kid of the King. I'm a son, a child of God. I am an heir of Christ, though all of that is true if you're a follower of Jesus. I mean, I guess it's okay to name drop that, right? But verse 16, the Spirit, look at this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I mean, walk with me on this thought. This is a change of significance you've received. You receive something you never thought you would receive. I was reminded of this as I sat there thinking about this, of a young lady that was in our youth ministry. She was actually not in high school. She was a youth sponsor for us when we were youth pastors in Missouri. And Talia had a background, a rough background, a broken background, broken home. Parents were a mess. She was a mess. She got into a lot of different things that tried to derail her and take her out. And Talia experienced and encountered the forgiveness of Jesus, and she was so grateful for it. One day in a service, she was taking communion. This is how, I'm not saying what she did was right, but her heart, she was just overwhelmed, so overwhelmed by the grace and the goodness of God in her life that we were taking communion, and her cup spilled, and so all her grape juice spilt all over the floor. And Talia, knowing what she had been saved from, got down on her hands and knees and was just like overwhelmed because of what that juice represented. The blood of Christ, the blood that forgave her sin, the blood that had given her a new eternal home. And she began to weep and sob and respond. Just this is like this overwhelming guilt that, oh my goodness, what have I done with the cup of the Lord? And did she need to respond that way? She felt she needed to. So I'm not going to go to her and tell you how you didn't need to do that. But it's just, to me, just reminds me and spoke to me of the significance of what we have received. Listen, you are wanted. Jesus wants you. LifePoint wants you. We have been in discussion. Pause to take a drink of water for a big effect. Just in the state of our church and the season that we're in, and I mean, we're just coming out of summer and we're, you know, a few weeks into fall, and through the summer we have seen growth and we've like, okay, what are we going to do? And so with that has been discussion of the need to go to two services. So you're like, I don't want to go to two services. I'm not going to see everybody. But remember the why. Never forget the why. We want to make heaven more crowded. We want the family to grow. Right? And so we're in that process of having that discussion and have circled a date on the calendar of October, moving to two services. Because this is Sunday after Fall Fest. And if you look at our attendance, Sunday after Fall Fest is always a low Sunday. And there's not a lot of real estate in here this morning. And there's a lot of people gone. I take attendance, right? Through this morning, I think, well, they usually sit back there. They're not here today. They're gone today. They're gone today. And there's not a whole lot of space. And so we could get more chairs, we could tell you every week, scoot to the middle, and the next Sunday you're going to be on the edge, right? And I'm not knocking that because I'm the same way. But here, it's about the vision, right? And so just be ready because you've received something. And you want the people around you that haven't received it to receive it too. Amen? Adoption is a change of significance from not feeling wanted to being wanted. It's also a change of status. It says adoptions as sons and daughters. As Paul, in Paul's day, an adopted child had more rights and more privileges than a biological child. You're like, how in the world is that, Steve? Simply this, they weren't born into the family, they were chosen into the family. And so as a child of God, adopted because of Christ, you are like chosen. You're like, God's like, I want you on my team. You are more than a title. Whether that title is a good title or a negative title, it's also a change of sentiment because there's a cry. When you feel like no one wants you, when you may feel like, man, you wouldn't be missed or no one knows you, Jesus says, I feel and I hear your silent cries. It's a change of significance, a change of status, change of sentiment. Your cries no longer go unheard. Why? Because a change of sincerity. Abba, Father. That you have a God in heaven who speaks over you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. I've chosen you. I've called you. I know you by name. And I want you in my family. There's a place I've prepared for you. I've chosen you. Abba is the most intimate of terms. It's daddy. It's papa. And this afternoon, man, I hope we get our afternoon phone call or FaceTime call, because even if it's just like about 15 seconds is all it is anymore of attentiveness that we get from Lincoln. But if I can hear those words, Papa. Papa, Minnie. And I'm like, touchdown. The Broncos might as well have won today. Papa. Papa. It's that intimacy. I can't spend much time here, but God's plan of adoption penetrates time as we know it. Think about it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says this. Even as he chose us in him being Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. God's plan and purpose for you predates time. In other words, that man, in his foreknowledge, and this makes our mind just like fizzle out really quick, or it does mine anyway. I know Tracy, and I want Tracy in my family, and I've prepared a place for him. Because I want him to call me Abba or Papa. God picked you. I want you. And my plan for you is greater than any title that man can give you. And in this room, there's titles that people wear, whether it be Mr. or Mrs., because you're a teacher, or you're in the medical field, and so you're a doctor, or you're on the fire department, or you're a mom, or you're a dad, or whatever. So much greater than that. Check out this video of one of our own.
I work for a large fire department. I've been doing it for 24 years, and my role is a captain. The environment that I work in is very dynamic. You just never know what's going to happen. Respond to any call that comes in and act appropriately. I think my faith has helped me in the fact that I've seen a lot of people make bad decisions and the consequences of their decisions, but I always kind of see God working within that environment to maybe somebody that I thought wasn't gonna make it, makes it, gets a second chance, and sometimes has a new opportunity to turn their life around or change their life. Or somebody that's been in an unfortunate situation sometimes has the opportunity to pick themselves up and get back to living. My faith helps me at home a lot just because I'm around my family, and I feel God's presence in my family on a daily basis. Our faith has blessed us so much, and God has blessed us so much. We are so fortunate in pretty much every aspect of our life, and we have no one to thank for that but God. I mean, we work hard, but God has been providing for us very, very faithfully. My title means to me, it's influence more than anything. Within my station, as the supervisor, I can kind of influence the day-to-day activities. I'm in charge on the calls, on the fires and stuff, but I still am responsible for the basic skills that my employees have to do and that I have to do. So although I'm a captain, I'm still a firefighter, so I just kind of get to influence the guys a little bit more. What God has been speaking to me lately a lot is that, you know, I've always kind of held back, and I've always done, and we've talked about it in church, or I've read the message, which, you know, sometimes I'm hesitant to expand or branch out or reach out because sometimes I think I'm not good enough, and I'm starting to realize that I am. I'm one of God's children. That's also a title that I'm really, really like, probably more than any of these other titles that I have. I feel blessed to be given a second chance and a third chance and 1,000 chances. It's so great because I feel that, and it makes me happy. My name is Chris, and I am more than my title.
And just so you know, I wasn't like around the corner going, "Hey, Chris, I want you to say something about being a child of God." We didn't arrange that. We didn't talk about that. But yet, it's there. Thanks, Chris, for sharing with us, telling us your story. Maybe you've heard of the game, or maybe you've played it, called Bigger and Better, where you start out at somebody's house and they give you a quarter or a can of green beans or whatever, and the task is to go out around the neighborhood and say, "Hey, what, you know, I have this can of green beans. Mary, what will you give me in your house for this can of green beans that's bigger and better than this?" And then she comes out and she gives you a ribeye or whatever, and then you go to the next house and you just see where you can get. Well, Kyle McDonald took that idea and got a red paperclip and traded a red paperclip, put it on Craigslist or on, you know, some platform, and said, "Hey, I have a red paperclip. What would you give me for this red paperclip?" Eventually, that led to him being given a house. So it started with this Craigslist game of a red paperclip, and then someone said, "Hey, I will trade you this writing pen that is in the image of a fish, in the shape of a fish, for your red paperclip," which then he took that and posted the fish on the pen on the deal, and someone said, "Well, hey, I will give you a door handle that has a creepy face on it." And so they traded, and then someone said, "Hey, I want that doorknob with the creepy face on it, and I'll give you a Coleman stove." And so he got the Coleman stove and took it and put it on there. And someone said, well, hey, I will take that Coleman stove off your hand and give you a generator. And it eventually led to someone trading him and giving him a house. Some of you are like, I know what I'm going to do this afternoon. Spiritually speaking, Jesus traded our sins so that we could receive his rights, be an heir. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be also be glorified with him. So, Robin and I, years ago, and sometimes conversation comes back up, but with a different perspective on it, but we at times had talked about doing an international adoption. We never went down that path, but we talked about it, and we have friends that have done it, and friends that are in the process of doing it right now. And so in that process, though, they tell me that there's like a lot of paperwork and application stuff that you have to fill out, and in the application process you get questionnaires that will ask you what you're willing to open up your home to. In other words, the conditions that child may possess, are you willing to just say yes, or are there some situations and circumstances like, man, we're not qualified, we're not equipped to handle that situation, and so we have to say no. So, case in point, are you open to having a child that's deaf? Yes or no. Blind? Yes or no. Child with AIDS? Yes or no. Child with learning disabilities? Yes or no. Handicapped? Yes or no. On and on the process goes. Terminal conditions, behavior conditions. And in that application, as you're looking at it, knowing that it's a kid, knowing that it's a child, and you are saying yes, or you're saying no. And I understand when you say there's some things that it's okay to say no to because you're not equipped for it, right? But in that moment that you feel the weight of such a scenario, such a choice, if your life was a portfolio of your titles, all of your setbacks, all of your temptations, and your Heavenly Father is looking at your adoption papers, looking at your condition, he lied. Are you willing to adopt him? Yes. Gossips? Yes. Malicious? Yes. Adulterer? Yes. Thief? Yes. Broken? Yes. Divorced? Yes. Single? Yes. Widowed? Yes. Angry? Yes. Hateful? Yes. Likes the Chiefs. And on and on. Yes. 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 I'm so thankful for the pastoral team that we have. Our environments on Wednesday nights, whether here with the students or the kids down the hallway, and Pastor Levi and Tia, Pastor Nathaniel and Amy, making these environments a place that is safe, giving opportunities for kids to hear about God, a God who says yes over them, no matter what the world and the label wants, the label that the world wants to put upon them. They want God. They want them to hear God say yes to you. And then challenge them and call out of them what God has spoken over them instead of what the world says or what their desires or what the lies of the enemy would say over them. That when people come into this place, they know what it is to be wanted. They hear the voice of Abba saying, I want you. They hear the heart of a church that says, we want you. No longer are we slaves, and we're not orphans. Next, we're no longer beggars. Verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. What does this produce? It's a change of sight. He bears witness, verse 16. In other words, again, you've been picked. We have a will. We need to rework our will again because it's been a while, but we have a will. We have two boys, and they will receive an inheritance, and it's 50-50, unless one of them starts mowing my yard. No, I'm just kidding. It's 50-50, right? Right down the middle. If it's a lot, great. If it's not a lot, 50-50. Think about this, okay? If you're a follower of Jesus, we are kids of the King. Think about the eternal assets. I was thinking about this earlier this morning. I'm just like, dude, I'll just give me the streets of gold. That's enough for me. But just what is the percentage? You're a kid of the King. What's the percentage? I mean, heaven, you know, this is going to be pretty crowded. What's the percentage? You get 0.123 or 0.0015 or what is it? It gets, I mean, check this out. John 3:16 says this, God gave his one and only begotten Son. So all the eternal riches are bestowed upon one Son, Jesus. But God loved you so much that you and I are in the family of God, and now because of what Jesus said, you are, Scripture tells us that you are joint heirs with Christ. In other words, we get the eternal reward of our Heavenly Father as if we were his only kid. I mean, I don't know how it's all going to pan out, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time thinking about it, but because of that we are in Christ, it's going to be good. Everything you need in life is found in the Father. You don't get a percentage of God's goodness. You get Christ. Stuff isn't the reward. I mean, this isn't like a prosperity gospel thing at all. The reward is Jesus. What more do you want? What does this produce? It produces a change of sufficiency. Heirs of God. God has endless resources. If God is willing to give us Jesus, his one and only Son, how much more is he willing to help us with our daily practical needs if you seek him first? That leads us to the last thought this morning. It's a change of seat, fellow heirs with Christ. In other words, you have a place at the table. And if I could just illustrate it this way. About your birth certificate. And what God says over you. You have a natural, if you will, birth certificate. Mine says Midland, Michigan, and yours says Wichita or wherever. To my beloved child, the Father would speak to you. You are no longer a spiritual slave to your sin, for by the finished work of Christ, Satan has been rendered powerless in your life. Your standing with me is fully forgiven. Your security in me is forever free. You're no longer a spiritual orphan. The Father speaks over your life. You are wanted, loved, treasured, and a part of my forever family. Your significance is you belong to me. Your status is a child of me, the King. Your sentiments and your cries are no longer silent, for I hear each one. Your security is met by the fact that I want you to see me as Abba, Daddy. You're no longer a spiritual beggar living in spiritual poverty, for the supply of heaven is endless and can never be depleted. Your senses are awakened to my nearness. Your sufficiency is connected to my goodness, and your seat is at my table, for you matter so much to me. And on every birth certificate, there's signatures that are required. And you know what your Heavenly Father does? He stamps it with his signature. And you know what else, or who else stamps that? Is his Son, Jesus, completing the signatures that are needed on that portion of the document. But I just want to remind you that all of the Godhead is involved in this, because the Holy Spirit puts his seal on this certificate that says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak of your worth. They speak of your identity. They speak of that which is spoken over you. You are an heir of Christ. Isn't that awesome? That you are of worth, regardless of what the enemy or your flesh would try to speak of you. All the kingdom is yours. We close with this. Lufredo Garza lived as an illegal immigrant for 35 years of his life, going back and forth between Mexico and Texas on a regular basis. One day, he built up the courage to go into the immigration office and sit down and talk to a lawyer. He had been deported 4 times, always coming back to work and sending those resources home for his family. He finally got tired of living in fear. And he went into the lawyer's office knowing that it could cost him dearly, knowing that he could be rejected, knowing that he could be removed. And he said to the lawyer, I want to be a citizen. And the lawyer began to ask questions and began asking for documentation, asking for his father's birth certificate, asking for work records. Lufredo left and went to find those documents and made an appointment and came back in, sat down at the lawyer's desk and handed him the documents. The lawyer opened them up and said, this is your father's birth certificate. It says Texas on it. I thought you said you were from Mexico. The Fredo said, I am from Mexico. And they went back and forth, and the lawyer said, these papers validate that your dad worked in Texas, but even more important, he was born in Texas. These documents are significant. They let you know that, Fredo, you're not illegal, nor was your father. You are a citizen of this country. You don't need to live in fear. You don't need to walk in fear any longer, because your certificate says who you are. As we wrap this up this morning, let me just be really bold and very direct with us this morning. What's your spiritual birth certificate say? Have you allowed the Father to put his stamp? Have you allowed the Son to put his stamp? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to seal it? So that it doesn't matter what your flesh would say. It doesn't matter what your failures would say. It doesn't matter what your past says. What matters is what this says. Because this says where your home really is. This says what your future hope really is. This says, in spite of all the garbage going on around you or all the battles that you may face tomorrow, this says that you're not alone. This says that you're valued. This says that you're worth more than any name or any position, a person or a place could give you. This says, you are my beloved, and I want to call you my child if you'll let me. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, Lord, I thank you that you're not afraid of any of us or anything that we've done. God, all you want to do is call us your own. All you want to do is let us know how valuable we are to you. God, all you want us to do is to have a place at your table and to receive all that is available to us because we're a child of the King. And God, I know that there's some people in this place that are wearing some titles. And those titles are what they see every morning when they look in the mirror. God, it's what they feel when they make another mistake at work. It's that angst at the end of the day that they feel. It's not what you say over them. It's not how you feel about them. But Lord, as they look at the season in life right now, it's what they feel pressing down that's trying to make them small, trying to squish them down. But it's, Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that they would sense in their heart, they would hear you literally whispering in your ear, hey, you're not that title. You're more than. You're more than. You're more than that. I've put my stamp and my seal upon you. God, we just open up our hands to you right where we're seated right now. And God, we relinquish that title that we call ourselves, that title that someone's placed over us. Maybe it's a title that gives us significance, and And in and of itself, it's not a bad thing, but Lord, we've tied our identity to that, and that's not where you want us to tie our identity to. You want us to tie our identity to our title that we have in you. God, so remind us who we are and whose we are. Because, Lord, whose you are will tell us who we are. If you're here in this place and you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you're like, man, I just want to be free from the weight that I carried into this place. I want to know, Steve, I want to know this God that you've talked about today. I want to know forgiveness of sin. I want to know that I have a place prepared for me. I want to know, God, that this God who sent his son for me, I want to know him in a personal way, in a way that I've never known him before. If you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you've never asked him for forgiveness of your sin, and you're here today going, man, I need that, and I know I need it. I've been looking for the titles and positions from man, but I need to know what my Father, my Heavenly Father, speaks over me and calls me, and I want to receive what he says over me. And you've never done that. Today in this place, you're like, I need to do that. That's the step I need to take today. Would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? That's you. I see those hands. God, I see those. You see those hands, Lord. God, these individuals that have raised their hands to you today, God, we celebrate their worth and their value to you. God, we celebrate what you call them, what you want to call them, forgiven, a child of God, whole in Christ, the past removed, forgiven, and new days and new ways before them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray your peace and the power of your Holy Spirit over their lives. God, that they would just sense, even as they are right where they're at, just a cleansing going on in their heart. God, just this weight coming off of them and the power of the Holy Spirit filling them, I pray. Lord, for the rest of us in this place, if any of us have been living by false titles, whether it's because we look at our past and our failures, or God, we look at positions and put our pride in things that we, in opportunities that we've had. God, we just want the title of being a child, being an heir of Christ, to be the most important thing to us, one that we just revel in. One that we find new and find fresh each and every day, I pray. God, as we step into this song of worship, hear our heart and our longing for you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, would you stand with me? If you raised your hand for, man, I just want to receive Jesus today. I'm going to ask before you leave to take just a few minutes. I want to talk to you right down here. But for the rest of us, if you have been measuring your value and your worth by titles, and look, let's just be raw and honest. We live in a world, in a culture, in a society that is really, really big on that stuff. And so it's easy to take that on. You know what I'm saying? And begin to have your identity from that. I want to encourage you during this song just to open up your hands and say, God, I want to be free in you. I want the strongest title in my life to be the title of son or daughter of the Most High God. know you, Father, as my Abba, as my daddy, if you will. Robin, will you lead us in worship, and let's just press into worship. If you raise your hand that, man, I want to receive Christ, I want to talk to you before you leave this place, I'll come back up here in a second and close us down.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.